Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, the excitement, the anticipation, the dreams that must fill the hearts and the minds of those few athletes who, after literally years of training and dedication, qualify for the Olympic Games. Well, in 1968, during the Olympic Games in Mexico City, Mexico, those dreams of one John Stephen Akwari from Tanzania were dashed in a matter of moments as he competed in the 26-mile marathon. You see, John Stephen would not make news or still be remembered all these many years later because he won that race, because he certainly did not, but rather because of the way he finished that race. What an amazing story. I'm sure there were many times that John wanted to quit that race. In fact, as you noticed up there, there were several whose bodies were working just fine that quit the race at some point. Can you imagine trying to run a marathon with a dislocated knee? But why did he finish the race? My country didn't send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. As you're going to see here today, there are a few passages in the Bible that describe this life that you and I live as a race. And we are to run that race well. And not only run it well, we are to finish well. St. Paul, who didn't have a good start to his race, but a good ending, said this, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And I pray that through this message here today, that we will have a better understanding of what it looks like for us to run our race well and finish well also. The main passage that we're going to be looking at here today is what was read just a little bit ago by Marnie. It's from Hebrews chapter 12, and once again it says, "Therefore, Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So it starts out with the word therefore, and as we oftentimes like to say here at St. John's, whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, ask, what is it there for? What is it there for? Well, therefore is a connecting word, right? And so it's connecting chapter 12 with the previous chapter 11. What do we see in Hebrews chapter 11? We see what is oftentimes called the great hall of faith. Person after person after person from the Old Testament is talked about by the author to the Hebrews about the race that each one of them was called to run. And as you go down through the list of the 18 plus people that are talked about there from the Old Testament, you realize that all of them had difficulties in their race. I'm sure many times that they wanted to quit that race, but every one of them finished well. He calls them a great cloud of witnesses. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, that have already run their race and finished their race, he says, so let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. What is he saying here? He's saying it's pretty hard to run a race if you've got a load on your back. It's pretty hard to run a race if you're getting all entangled with a netting or with ropes that have been tied around your legs. Get rid of all of that. You got a race to run. So what are some of those impediments that keep us from running a good race? Those heavy weights that we try to carry around and it makes our race more difficult. Well, just a few things. I think the first one is this: fear. It is really hard to run the race of life if we are full of fear, if we are carrying around fear every day. Over the last 5 years, since 2020, the world is full of fear. But did you know that as Christians, we don't need to fear? In fact, one of the things that the Lord says over and over and over again in His Word is this: do not fear. You say, Lord, how can we not fear? There's so many scary things out there. In one of my favorite passages from Exodus, the people of Israel were standing there before the Red Sea, and they look over their shoulder and they see the armies of Egypt coming toward them to kill them, and they're scared out of their mind. And then Moses says these amazing words: you needn't fear. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. I love those words because those words are as much for you and me running our race here in 2025 as they were for those people running their race all those thousands of years ago. You needn't fear. Why? Because the Lord will fight your battles for you when you ask Him to, and all you need to do is be still. That's God's promise to you. Cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. Jesus says, come to me, you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn how to turn your fears over to Him. Otherwise, that's going to be a burden for running your race. How about this? The love of money. It is really hard to run a good race if you're believing the lie that somehow more money, more stuff is going to bring you the happiness, the joy, the contentment that you're longing for in your heart. It's not going to do it. And if you believe that, then it's going to be hard to run your race because you're going to abandon your family, spending more and more time trying to earn more and more money. And if you really think that that's going to bring you the happiness, joy, and contentment that you're looking for, then you're going to be willing to step on those that God has called you in your race to love on. That's not going to help. Thirdly, simply this, sin, unrepentant sin, sin that we do over and over again without repenting, without turning from it. That is going to be an impediment to running your race. In this 21st century, we live in a sex-soaked culture. It is soaked with sexual immorality, whether it be pornography or whether it be premarital or extramarital sex. That will keep you from running a good race. God says, let that go. Roll that stuff off. That is just a distraction to what God has for you to do. And you can go through the Ten Commandments. How do you use your mouth? Do you swear like a sailor? Let that stuff go. That's going to be an impediment to you. Gossip. Other things like stealing. Let those things go. Throw those things off, he says in Hebrews chapter 12. And finally, just simply my agenda. If I want to hold tightly to my agenda, then what happens when God has a different agenda than mine? Am I going to lay mine down or am I going to stick with mine? If I decide to stick with what I want to do, what I want to accomplish, even when it is crystal clear that God has something else in mind for me, then that's going to be an impediment to my race as well. In Jeremiah chapter 23, God is addressing false prophets. What made them false? Well, they were saying this, go ahead and live your life however you want to live it. Go ahead and sin. It doesn't matter. Why? Because God loves you. And God is going to take care of you. Everything's going to be okay. God says, the people that are saying things like that, those are false prophets. He said, I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I did not speak to them, yet they have prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and would have turned them from their evil ways and from their evil deeds. True prophets turn people away from those things that keep us from running a good race. I saw this online this week and I loved it. It says, a true believer is at war with his sin. A false believer is at peace with it. I remember a pastor many, many years ago say this, and it gave me great peace. He said this, if you are struggling with sin, good. Why? Because that means that the Holy Spirit is working inside of you. As long as we are living on this earth, we as Christians are going to be at war with our own sinful condition. We're going to be at war with our flesh. There's going to be a part of us that's going to want to do those things that God has said not to do. But then there's going to be the Holy Spirit speaking to us saying, God has a better race for you to run than getting distracted with all this stuff. In 1 Corinthians 9, it says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way so that you get that prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will last, that won't last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself might not be disqualified from the prize. St. Paul says, I don't run like someone running aimlessly. In other words, he's saying, I'm trying to live my life intentionally, following God, following the path that He has for me. I've never been a great runner in my life. In fact, prior to these pictures that are up here, I had never run more than a mile in my life, and that was in high school PE class. Well, when we got out to New York, there was a young man in our congregation that unfortunately had died in Iraq, and his family decided that in his honor, they were going to do a 5K every year to earn some money for a scholarship fund. And I thought, you know what? I've always wanted to run, and I know it's just a 5K, but that's pretty hard for me. I've never done that. I'm not like this other guy over here. That's such a good runner. And so I decided to do it. But recognizing that I had never run more than a mile in my life, I thought, I probably need to spend some time building up to that. And so that first day, I would go out and I would run just a half mile. And then after a few days, I'd go to a mile, and then a mile and a half, and then 2 miles, 2.5, and finally 3 miles. And then I was ready for the 5K. It took some intentionality. It took some training. And in this walk of life, in this race that God has called us to run, it takes some intentionality, living intentionally, not just living aimlessly, if we want to run a good race to the honor and glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So he says, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Why does he say that we have to run with perseverance? Because there's going to be times, he knows, in everybody's race, in all of those from Hebrews chapter 11, and in every one of our races, there are going to be times when you're going to want to give up. It's going to be so hard. In addition to going through the problems that Jesus said we would have here on this earth, that constant battle with our sinful condition, and between those things, there are times that we're going to want to just give up and lay down on the track and say, I'm done. But the author to the Hebrews says this, run your race with perseverance. Don't give up no matter what. God will tell us when our race is done. We don't say when our race is done. He does. Just like John Akwari, I never thought of stopping. And like I said, I'll bet there were many times that temptation came through his head and he just would not entertain it. Life is going to be hard sometimes. It is. Jesus said it would be. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. But he said this, fear not, for I've overcome the world. He says, let us run with perseverance. What race? The race marked out for us. Here's our very important point of the day. Running your race has nothing to do with keeping a bunch of random rules and regulations. If that's what you think the Christian life is all about, you're mistaken. It's not about just doing a bunch of random good things in your life. It's about doing God's things. Running your race is recognizing that Jesus mapped out His good plan for you before you were born, and then asking Him each day to guide you along that path. That's what running a good race is. Jesus, what would you have me to do? This is where the Holy Spirit comes in to our life of faith. Jesus said, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." As you're seeking to intentionally run this good race in your life, following the Lord and doing what He has called you to do, you've got an amazing helper living inside of you, the Holy Spirit, that when you ask Him, "Holy Spirit, what would Jesus have me to do today?" He has a million and one ways of leading you to the right person, to the right situation, that you can accomplish those things that Jesus put on your list many, many years ago. No, it's not about doing a bunch of random things. Now, most of the things that God has for you to do are going to be under two categories, either the Great Commandment or the Great Commission. The Great Commandment is love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. And the Great Commission is to go and share the good news of Jesus. It's going to be those two things, but what that looks like in your and my life, the situations that God is going to put into our lives for us to do the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, well, that's all about following the Holy Spirit, and He's the one that is going to lead you to do those things that God has put on your race. I love this passage, and I've learned in my own life that this is an extremely helpful passage for me. St. Paul says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." When I first got serious about trying to follow the Lord, I focused so much on not sinning. But you know what I found out? The more I focused on it, the worse I got. I felt like I was getting worse and worse, not better and better. But that was never supposed to be our focus. Instead, when you walk by the Spirit, you have your eyes not on your sin, but you have your eyes on Jesus. You have your eyes on the Holy Spirit. And you're saying, "Holy Spirit, what would you have me to do?" And if you are living your life in that relationship, you know what becomes easier? Sin. Because it's not your focus any longer. Instead, now you're focused on what would God have me to do. So finally, he says, what's the secret to running a good race? Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith. What does it mean to fix your eyes on Jesus? How is this helpful to you in running a good race? Well, first of all, it means this. Fixing your eyes on Jesus is fixing your eyes on what Jesus has done. What has He done? Well, He tells us in Hebrews 12, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. How do you grow weary and lose heart? When you realize that you're a sinner. When you realize, I keep on messing up. I keep on getting off of the path that God has for me. I'm not running a good race. I keep on failing. And that makes you just want to stop. What does it mean to fix our eyes on Jesus? It means fix our eyes on what He's done. He went to the cross for you. What did He do on that cross? He took the punishment for all of your sin so that now God looks down upon you, not with anger, not with resentment. No matter how many times you failed, He looks upon you with favor. And in fact, it says in Zephaniah, He is singing over you because of what Jesus has done. And now every day, it says in Lamentations, every day is a new day full of God's grace. Every day that you wake up, it is a fresh new day. Your sins have been washed away run your race. It says in Romans 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. No matter how many times you blow it, there's no condemnation. And knowing that helps you to keep going in running your race. So fix your eyes on what Jesus has done. Also fix your eyes on what Jesus is doing right now. The Bible says that yes, he went to the cross. Yes, he was put in the grave. Yes, he rose again. Yes, he ascended up into heaven. And what is he doing up there in heaven right now? He is listening to your prayers. He is preparing a place for you in heaven. And he is helping you to finish your race. We see that in Philippians chapter 1. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. You're not on your own as you run this race. Jesus is helping you. He's not just the one that started you out on this race. He's the one that is going to be holding your hand across the finish line. So fix your eyes on what he has done. Fix your eyes on what he's doing right now. And finally, fix your eyes on what Jesus is going to do. What is he going to do very soon? It tells us in Revelation 22, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming back soon. And all of the church says, amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. All of the signs in our world today point to one fact, that Jesus Christ, the one who came 2,000 years ago as a little baby and died to take away all of our sins, is coming back. And when he comes back, all of the difficulties and the problems and the pains of your and my life will be gone forever. And we will enjoy eternity with him. That helps us to keep going in our walk of faith. So after spending a couple of months of getting ready for that first 5K, I went to Pine Bush, New York, and I ran that 5K. But as I came to that last quarter mile, it was all uphill. And for somebody that had never run 3 miles before, prior to a couple of weeks before that, I didn't know if I could put one foot in front of the other. But when I came over the bend, this is what I experienced. Oh, it's not working. As I came over the bend, what did I experience? I experienced all of these people clapping, saying, good job, you're going to make it. There was my family, my wife, and my kids holding up these banners saying, we're proud of you, Dad. And you know what? That's what's going to happen. At the end of your and my race, just like John Akwari, no matter how hard it's been, there's going to be a great cloud of witnesses that are going to be clapping their hands and cheering you on as you finish your race. Isn't that exciting? All of those that have finished their race are now, you could say, up in the stands, watching you finish your race, cheering you on, the whole hosts of heaven, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the angels, the church that's already up there in heaven, cheering you on as you finish your race. And on that day, you're not going to get a crown that's going to wear out over time. You're going to get a crown that lasts forever. And as he places that on your head, he's going to say those words that all of us are looking forward to. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come into my kingdom. May God bless each and every one of us, that we would fix our eyes on Jesus and therefore run and finish our race. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.